Welcome to the family with
co-host Catherine Brandt,
Andy Brandt Bernard,
Timmy Lammers.
See, now we're talking. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Lammers now joins us. We got a lot to talk about today, Timmy.
You know, I wanted to follow up on Fast X or Fast 10. I call it Fast 10. It's the 10th episode in the Fast and Furious franchise, which I'm sure that you and Catherine didn't see over the weekend. Am I correct?
None for us, thank you.
Never seen a single one of them.
We stood in line, but we couldn't get in.
I saw one. I thought it was terrible.
Melissa said, I think Melissa has watched a few, but she said she stopped when they like went into space or something.
They went into space?
The last one that you think that, okay, they pushed it to the limit, and granted that. Spoiler, they didn't go back into space for this one.
Are they going to go back in time or something?
That's coming up. Actually, I think we're going to get that with the new Indiana Jones movie. But,
oh, God.
I haven't seen that yet, but the early word is not good. But anyway, yeah. Getting back to the Fast and Furious franchise, apparently, no, it did have a big box office opening, but maybe amongst the worst of the franchise.
The worst of the
and
worst.
And actually lower. Yeah, the worst of the prior 10 or whatever. But it actually did a smaller box office than the last one did. And that's significant because in 2021, we're still talking pandemic keeping people out of theaters.
Really?
So that is not good. So, you know, Vin in his massive ego in his mind, you know, on the red carpet of the new film, he said, well, there's going to be two more. Well, they actually did commit to one more, but you know what? If this thing isn't going to make the money they thought it would,
yeah,
you know, Universal may end up losing some money, because you got to believe that these movies are, they got to cost a gob of money.
Oh, I'm sure. Do they have the cost out there yet?
You know, there is a site. I usually rely on Box Office Mojo, but lately I've been going to a site called the-numbers.com, and that gives you a bigger financial breakdown of everything.
Looks
and
like
that often includes the budget.
340 budget, but that's not including marketing, of course.
Wait a minute, $340,000?
Million.
$340 million to make a movie.
Well, I mean, how many cars do they blow up in these movies? And they're nice cars, too. And buildings, they blow up buildings, helicopters, you know. Those
really?
Those things cost money.
Yeah.
So, considering all the people that work on a movie.
Well, and God, I'm sure Vin Diesel's making $10 million per movie, minimum.
Yeah.
So.
And these movies, you would think they would lose money, because a guy like Vin Diesel, who's a producer, you know, who knows how many actual shots he's calling, but could be a vanity title, which is usually reserved for executive producers, but he is a quote-unquote producer. You got to believe he's got points in this thing on the back end.
Right.
So, with that sort of money coming out of the gross before you recoup everything, I don't know how the hell these movies actually make money.
Well, I don't know that this one did, because it has a box office of $450 so far.
Oh.
So
yeah.
$340, you double that for marketing, that's $680. That means they're down over $200 million.
Ooh. Well, maybe the budget probably includes
again,
marketing.
The back end participation too.
Yep, that too, which we have no idea how much that could be.
And the other thing to remember is the box office, it's not 100% that goes to the studio. I mean, obviously the theaters need some sort of percentage of that.
Right.
And they get it for a bigger film like this, probably less than they normally get. On top of that, now this is something I've only learned in the last couple of years. The international box office, in particular China, which is generally the biggest market over there for overseas, releasing a film overseas, they keep more than the theaters keep here.
Really?
Maybe like up to 50% or maybe even higher. So that's a lot of money to make up. That's a lot of money to make up. So one thing I mentioned, the second thing I wanted to talk about, I mentioned this to Tom on the review Friday. I didn't want to spoil things, but my God, 3, 2, 1, spoiler alert. In the end credits, Dwayne The Rock Johnson shows up.
Oh, really? Because he and Vin don't get along too well.
Well, do they not get along too well?
Oh, it's fake.
Or remember what I said, Tom, on Friday? I said, I have a feeling some all-star wrestling stuff is going on
here. Well, of course it is. I mean,
this whole,
yep,
you know, candy ass bullshit. Candy ass, this is what The Rock supposedly called Vin and company. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't mention anybody by name, but there was a big to-do. There was a big so-called feud. And he denied it up and down, and there's no way I'm done, although he did do a spinoff movie, which maybe contractually, you know, that was a way of getting him to do it. But, you know, really, I think the whole thing was concocted. I think it was All-Star Wrestling.
Yep.
They started this big feud thing in order to keep the name in there in publicity because, again, for what it's worth, I mean, you know, I think the shine after Shazam, not Shazam, Black Adam with The Rock has been tarnished a bit because that movie was a money loser for Warner Brothers. So it's like the, you know, king of the box office, international box office, Dwayne Johnson is no longer the king of the box office internationally. So, you know, he needs to find a way to keep his name in the funny papers too, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking this is all a bunch of all-star wrestling bullshit. I really do.
I'd have to agree with you because that's what Hollywood does.
Mm-hmm. You know, so apparently it didn't work. I mean, you know, again, he's in an end credit scene that lasts maybe about a minute. But again, it's enough to signal that he's coming back because this movie ends on a cliffhanger with Jason Momoa's character. So we know he will be in the next one. And he has a score to settle from five movies back when his father character was killed in one of the Fast and Furious chases. So you got to believe that, you know, The Rock will be back in full force for this next one. That's what it implies. So this is all a bunch of BS. They hoodwinked us.
I have a question for you. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. They pulled a fast one, it looks like.
These movies are all the exact same movie over and over and over again. Who cares?
Wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is.
It is.
Well, I think people, I think there's some audiences that like that because they're there for that. You know, blow it up, chase it, stuff. Mm-hmm. And they just like that. And they like the actor. So they're just going to keep going because they like it.
And I'll be the first to admit, I mean, the action scenes are pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And entertaining, too. I mean, at one point, my wife and I looked at each other and we were just laughing out loud. And we wonder if there were only about four people in the theater with us. But they had to have heard us. And it was just laughing at.
Right.
Listeners of it, not with, which is a difference. I mean, the prior movies, and that was one thing I liked about The Rock in those prior movies was, you know, he knew, and he actually did something that was very much like his character in this little cameo thing that he had at the end, because he knows it's a bunch. What he does, again, spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1, what he does is he crushes a cell phone in his hand.
Oh, well.
See, that's funny.
You know, so he's in on it. You know, so maybe I'll like it. But again, I'm not offended that they pulled this on us, but it's typical. You kind of sit back and you say, geez, you know, they had me. They had me.
It gets people
not
talking.
That I was salivating over these stories, but they got me.
Well, yeah, if it gets people talking, then that's all good. It's all good.
It's all about the publicity. And there was a great movie years and years ago called America's Sweethearts. Billy Crystal played a publicist on a film, and I believe Julia Roberts was in it, and Catherine Zeta-Jones and John Cusack. And he had a great line in there about there is no such thing as bad publicity. I mean, you've heard it other places too.
Sure.
But it's like Hollywood acknowledging it essentially by, you know, including that in a movie. Now, I do think there is such of a thing as bad publicity when, you know, you get a poisonous character who's a person or actor who's done some very, very bad things in real life. I mean, certainly, I think we found that out in the past few years. But Yeah, by and large, I mean, you know, getting drunk and trashing a hotel room is and getting reported on, that's not going to ruin a career.
No.
You know, it's just going to get an actor's name in the paper. They, you know, right. It's bad. It makes an actor look like an a-hole. But ultimately, the productions don't care because it gets that actor's name in, you know, and especially the timing before a film comes out. They love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There more publicity.
There was a time where if you were a rock star, you had to trash a hotel room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
or absolutely. Break a guitar or something.
You had to. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering about all of this cost of all this streaming stuff today, because I my phone updated and all of my music disappeared. So I've got to find that.
What?
Yeah, everything's gone.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure it's somewhere. But I was looking, I wanted to buy a couple of Marvin Gaye songs.
Love Marvin.
Yes, love Marvin. And it immediately took me to Apple Music. Now you can subscribe for $10.99 a month. You can still buy a song for $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really, the subscription thing you can share if you pay, I don't even know, $18.99 a month with 5 family members. So, I mean, I guess that brings it down a little bit. But, I mean, by the time you get done paying for a music service, and most people, what, do they just have Netflix? I mean, you're missing out on a lot of shows. Apple mm-hmm. has a bundle, apparently, so you can have Apple TV and Apple Music. I don't think any of the other streaming services give you, well, I suppose Prime does.
Disney actually does. Yeah, Disney Plus, ESPN, and Hulu.
Is that all? Oh, that's all tied in with Hulu.
You can get that in
Hulu. Okay. But it's still, yeah. Like,
and,
I mean.
And I believe Paramount Plus and Showtime are going to do the same thing.
They are.
Soon. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, but generally, what are people paying? I mean, to stream all of
it
this
adds
stuff.
Up.
Yeah.
It adds up fast. It really does. Because
commercial radio might be coming back. It's because people are going to finally go, I don't have any extra money. I want everything for free again.
Well, I think what's happening is, you know, obviously with the pandemic, there was this huge boom in
staying home.
Streaming,
right.
And now it's eroding again. And, you know, they've invested so much money. I mean, obviously, a lot of these projects need to be put in the, you know, they can't just say, oh, let's do a show on this and then a month later have it there. I mean, it's a long time with development and all mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. So I would imagine a lot of investments have been made up front. And before too long, it's like, oh, my God, we're no longer in the black. We're in the red here. We got to do something. So we're going to, you know, I don't even know what Disney Plus started as, but that subscription has jumped significantly. What I generally do, and that I think saves a lot of money with HBO Max, which is actually Max, I think, today.
Today it's Max? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Why they shorten that, I don't know.
They like to rebrand everything.
I pay for a year at a time. So I'll pay for, you know, you'll save a lot of money by going a year at a time with Max, a year at a time with Disney Plus, et cetera, et cetera. That, so you take a big hit at once, but ultimately, you can save yourself a few bucks that way. But yeah, it is expensive. And you know what? Amazon, I don't even feel it because I use it so much that the whole free 2-day shipping thing kind of helps pay for itself so much. And,
right.
And to me, the Amazon Prime programming, which is really good, I think, is like a bonus. But there are other shows out there, like, you know, like I told you last week with this Yellow Jackets thing, somehow getting back into it. That's a Showtime show.
Oh.
So if you want that, you got to subscribe to that.
Yeah, that's
too.
The problem. Yeah. You can't just watch whatever you want whenever you want without paying.
It's a lot of money. It adds up. It's kind of like, it's basically what it is doing is reverting back to the cable TV days where,
right.
You know, you had to get all the premium channels for extra cost. And then you paid for that basic package that included the 200 channels that you didn't want, like all the stuff that carries, you know, church services and stuff like that. And not to offend anybody with the religion stuff, I'm not saying that. You might like watching that stuff on cable. But anyway, that's part of the reason I cut it. It's like, you know what, you want me to pay this exorbitant amount to begin with, and then if you want me to get this and this and this, I mean, you just priced yourself out. So that's why, you know, cut the cord and went to streaming.
Right. I don't know. It just gets to be ridiculous how much you have to pay for everything.
It is.
And you don't. And you don't have access to everything, no matter how much you pay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just strange. But anyway, so maybe radio will make a comeback, Tom, because if music is going to start costing, you know, I mean, $10.99 doesn't sound like much, but it's soon will be $20. It'll be $30. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a point where people aren't going to pay it.
Radio's not going to come back because they're way, way, way too far in debt. I mean, Hubbard is above board because they're billionaires. I mean, so they don't owe anybody a dime. I do believe the collective debt that's owed by the radio stations in just this market, by the companies, of course, it's across the country, but it's getting to be up around $25 to $30 billion. They cannot come back from that.
That's a lot of money. What is it, five corporations own? Like
most
all,
of them, yeah.
Almost all the radio stations.
Yeah, one of them by themselves is $19 billion in debt.
Wow.
I mean, it's a lot of money to be in debt, and you ain't ever coming back
from that.
That
would make me not be able to sleep ever.
Yeah, I could.
If I was that CEO.
Catching a wink.
No.
I think the most expensive for me right now, and I just got the bill the other day. Now, this is, I don't think they offer a year-to-year thing, but Netflix came out at $21 pulled out of my checking or whatever. Mm-hmm. $21 a month.
Right.
And, you know, you can get a lower package with commercials, but, you know, I'm so used to having the commercial-free stuff for so long. Why do I want to go back to that? But again, that they were in a situation too where they were losing money and losing subscribers. And the amazing thing about that is it felt like the bottom of that company fell out when they lost 200,000 subscribers domestically in North America. Disney lost something to the effect of 2 million subscribers one fell swoop. And where was the panic there? There was no panic, but no, now they're slashing and burning like crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, as far as the radio is concerned, and maybe Tom can address this more when he comes back, at what point are the websites for radio stations going to include a paywall where you're going to have to pay a premium to listen to your stations online? I think that's where it's headed because obviously newspaper went there quite a long time ago.
Yes.
You can't get the Star Tribune without it. You can't get the, you know, Wall Street Journal or New York Times or LA Times, any of those big publications without paying a fee monthly. And I'm not going to do it.
No.
Because I can still go to the TV station websites and get it if I really want it. But I don't know how you feel. I don't really even watch the news anymore. So why do I even care? I really don't care. If there's something big going on, I'm going to find out about it other ways.
And, well, Tom has started watching local news again because we had a very long talk about him watching the national news and mm-hmm. how it would enrage him and get him so wound up all day long. And it just was one of those cycles where you kind of feel like you have to watch it because everything's breaking news and everything's so important and, you know, the shoe's going to drop. I think it gets in people's heads.
Yeah, the walls are always closing in on someone.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? Something big's coming.
How many times has Trump been, you know, the walls are closing in, he's going to be in prison next week? It's been like 6 or 7 times just in the past few years.
Exactly.
And people fall for it every single time.
Well, that's because they have wishful thinking, because whoever they don't like, they want to see destroyed.
Yep. Well, but like Biden is the same thing. This Hunter Biden thing, nothing's going to happen to them, and we all know it.
No.
But every day it's like, new details in the Hunter Biden case. The walls are closing in. No,
right.
They're not. The walls are not closing in. Just stop listening to these people.
Yes. But, you know, it's like, once again, it's a, you know, we just talked about movie formulas that work. This clearly works, this formula for disaster. It works. It keeps people addicted to it. So Tom's been watching the local news, but I don't know where. How are you getting the local news, Tom? Are you streaming it?
Yeah.
You're streaming it on Hulu or something?
Yes, on Hulu.
Okay.
Well, no, actually, the KSTP has its own site.
Okay, so if you want to watch KSTP television news, do you have to pay another subscription for them, or are they included with Hulu? And how do they monetize that? Is it because you watch commercials?
Yeah.
There's commercials. Yep. Okay.
There are commercials.
And they have, in fact, whenever I do watch local news stuff, I will go to the app, which you can get, you know, through Roku, and you can bring up KSTP.
Okay.
And they have, I'm pretty sure you can watch the whole newscast if you want, but they have all the stories separated, and then there's a pre-roll ad. So if I click on legislative session comes to an end story, because I'm sure there is one today, click on it, pre-roll ad, and then so they have their ads between in front of every story.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. But before you got up, Tom, I was saying, you know, with radio and their whole plight of survival, I would imagine at some point there's just like newspaper, there's going to be a paywall for some of these stations.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to have to, because
you're going to have to pay to subscribe, or else you can listen the old fashioned way. Whereas, you know, just like buying a newspaper, you know, you can buy the newspaper, or you can, you know, pay. I don't know how much you pay for Star Tribune a year or whatever. I don't pay for any news. Any of those news services. Again, I can find them, like you were saying, on KSTP.com or their app or whatever. Not all of them have them, though, which is kind of weird.
No, they don't all have them.
They should all have an app.
The Fox 9 app. I don't think they have one.
Hmm.
Or if they do, it's somehow through the entire Fox app. I think that's the way you can get the WCCO TV deal. It's all through the CBS TV app.
Yeah.
Well, I think you need to make it easier for people.
100%.
Air 11 has an app. You know, Hubbard, KSTP TV has an app. So, you know, you can bring it up and watch it just like you normally would on a television.
Our website, Sandy, I know you just went to school for all this kind of stuff. Our website's like going to be the thing of the past soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They already kind of are.
Because people don't update their websites. Nope. They don't have any current information on
everyone
them.
Everyone has a website, but it's always like 5 years out of date. Because people just don't go to websites. They go to apps now. Like if you want to, you know, every business has an app.
But I don't want a million apps.
I don't either, but that's what people
I know.
Want.
I just don't want them all.
I know. I turned off my data on, because you in the iPhone, you can go into your what uses cellular data and turn it off. Mm-hmm. So you're just on Wi-Fi. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I have so many apps.
Well, yeah, you travel and you want DoorDash or something. They don't have DoorDash. They have Resy.
Yeah.
So then you have to sign up for a whole other app. And then you go to another place.
One,
and
every,
then it's called
Caribou
Postmates.
Has their
it's
own
just...
app. And Starbucks has their own app, which I will say, Caribou is so much better of a deal than Starbucks.
What do you mean?
It's coffee.
Oh.
Their Starbucks coffees, their smalls are significantly smaller than Caribou smalls, and they're the same price.
Oh. And I have to add, the other thing with the apps is that you're giving your email to every one of these apps.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Yep.
That's gold to them, but a pain in the ass for us getting all this junk mail.
I know. I've been trying to unsubscribe, and I still get a million of the same things, even though I've unsubscribed. I thought by law they had some, like, a month to honor your unsubscribe request.
Well, because there's you're on certain promotional email lists, and then there's other promotional email lists, and you only unsubscribe from one of the five different promotional email lists that they have.
For the love of God.
I know.
See,
that's why you can like block anything. Like Poshmark is a clothing resell website.
Right.
I have unsubscribed from emails from them probably five times, and I continue to get them, but you can block anything that has Poshmark in it at all.
Oh. Now, a lot of places won't honor unsubscribing.
Yeah.
They just won't.
It's weird.
I know when I was doing real estate, if I contacted somebody that said, do not contact me, I would lose my license. I mean, it just wasn't even funny how important that was. It's like, why can some people ignore it? And some people lose their license and can't work. I don't understand.
I don't understand anybody? The world at all anymore.
Anybody get it?
Everybody's on their phone right now, Catherine. There's nobody to talk to you.
And he's not on his phone.
He was.
No, I wasn't.
And you were staring down at your desk.
I'm typing on the chat right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you're on the chat. What's going on in the chat?
Yeah.
Well, Alex, you've been on your phone the whole time you've been here.
I have to reboot.
I am in charge
of... Hold on. I'm going to log out and log back in.
Why?
Oh, because he's starting to strobe.
Yeah, I can't see you.
Oh, and he's gone.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this, if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Well, good thing we have Kristen.
Oh, so he's not coming back.
Well, I'm sure he'll come back on.
Whether he wants to or
might
not.
Might as well fill the silence.
Yeah.
There you have it. Kristen Burt now joins us, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
We figured out, by the way, Catherine, today when Kristen was on first the first hour of the show, because of Ken Barlow, there's now a KB1, KB2, and KB3.
Ah! So many of us.
So many KBs.
It's a cult.
It is a
cult. Tom is collecting KBs.
I have got my own collection of KBs. That's all there is to it. No question about it.
But remember, you are the original.
I am. Or at least the oldest.
Are you older than Ken Barlow?
I don't know. How old is Ken Barlow?
I have no idea how old he is.
I'm going to go on my phone and check.
Why?
I have no idea how old he is. That's what I'm doing.
Something bit me on the ankle.
Oh, I walked in the backyard today to see if the rabbits ate the stuff that I planted yesterday. Mm-hmm. So many mosquitoes.
Ken Barlow was 61.
So yeah, I am older than him.
By 3 years, yeah.
Fawn got attacked by mosquitoes at 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah.
She got like 7 bites in our backyard.
Ethan is covered in mosquito bites.
We're not supposed to get mosquitoes till next month.
Like,
what the hell?
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's like the sun is out.
We had three nice days. We had three nice days, and now we have mosquitoes.
Yep. Okay, we have nice days.
I mean, really, really nice days.
Indeed.
It's a beautiful day out today.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Timmy rejoined us. Tim's back.
You know what I keep doing is I have a power strip under my desk. I keep kicking.
When are you going to learn?
The computer goes dead. I plugged it back in, and I just saw nothing but a black screen. So I thought, I'm getting the hell out of Dodge and coming right back. So I am back. I wanted to mention something about social media. Were we talking about social media just a couple minutes ago?
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a federal bill introduced where they're trying to ban social media for kids under 13.
Yes. Good. That's
yes.
right.
Good.
I approve.
Thank God. It's about freaking time, but is it really going to happen? Mm. I doubt it. But
probably not, because a lot of the apps, you're supposed to be like over 14 as it is, and it's up to the parents to enforce.
Right.
So that, again, is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing about that is that everything now, parents don't want to do it, so they just don't do it. They leave it up to everybody else to take care of their family problems. That's disgusting.
It is.
Yeah.
There was just
handing a tablet to a kid as a babysitter. Let's have them just play games and stuff mm-hmm. instead of, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I was watching one mom. She banned her kid from playing one of his Game Boy situations or whatever for 3 months. And she chronicled the changes in him. Like, he started reading again. He started pulling out all of his toys on the shelf. He started getting along with his sister. Like, all these behavioral changes and then creative changes. She's like, he started, like, using his imagination again. And I'm like, oh, yeah, look right. at that. If you're not staring at a screen all day. And that goes for all of us. I mean, we're talking about a kid, but I mean, sometimes, some days I'm like, I think I've stared at a screen probably for 15 hours today. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, again, I think it's too late, unfortunately. And
it's too late for me.
No, not for you.
It's too late. You're lost, Cuff.
No. I think it's too late to try to pull the reins, but it's out there. I mean, the virus has escaped. It's proliferation everywhere.
The thing that's going to kill social media is when it stops being cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be the thing that their parents grew up with or that their parents like. You know, they're going to watch their parents scrolling TikTok and they're going to be like, that's lame. That's for old people.
Well, isn't that supposed to be the case now with Facebook? I mean, it seems like there's
Facebook is already – kids don't use it at all.
Instagram, exactly.
Twitter under Elon Musk has been a disaster. So that's another one that's tanking. Yeah.
Well, kids never really used Twitter anyway, did they?
To a degree. The mentally ill ones did.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear.
Okay.
That's good to hear.
Instagram, I think, is supposed to launch their own Twitter sort of thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. They have a Twitter competitor.
Yeah.
How many Twitter competitors are there?
I don't know.
And none of them worked.
Oh, yeah. There were quite a few for a while there.
But didn't Trump start Truth Social?
Yes, he did.
Is that Social?
And then there was Gitter or whatever. Something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Gitter. Was that real or am I making that up?
I think that was something.
Yeah, Gitter.
Like Mastodon and B-Sky.
Yep, exactly.
Parlor, which is also a conservative.
Parlor, there's Gab. There's so many of them.
Now, wait a second. I was on MySpace. What were you guys talking about?
MySpace.
Friendster. What about Friendster?
Friendster.
The other day.
Friendster.
The other day.
I don't even know
anyone
that
remember
one.
Friendster? Am I the only one?
I never
Friendster,
heard of it.
I don't remember, but I never used it.
No, I never used it.
Friendster?
Yeah.
The other day
Friendster
we were talking
was
about.
Friendster precursor to MySpace.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
really?
Know that.
We were talking about MySpace, and Melissa was like, I can't believe you didn't have a MySpace. I'm like, I never liked social media.
I'm actually doing a
ever.
Show next week, and I have to talk about Friendster randomly. So there you go.
I loved it when Alec Baldwin on, I can't remember the name of the show, it's the TV show he was on. I think it was about a TV show about a TV show, if I remember.
30 Rock?
Yeah, 30 Rock. That's exactly right. And he came out of his office and he combined the two names. They said, what have you been doing? Well, I've been spending a little bit of time on my face.
My face.
Well, it's MySpace and Facebook
Great.
Combined into my face.
Well, I am so. Facebook for me when I was in high school was a booklet you got every single year with your face, like, and all of your classmates' faces in it, and
phone
number and the parents. And I think that's probably where the name came out of. It's a prep school thing,
mm-hmm.
Facebook. Mm-hmm. And you would walk away with like a physical book at the start of the year.
Too bad they didn't go with the original name was Facebook was The Facebook.
The Facebook.
The
Facebook,
yeah. I was on Facebook back when it was only college students and invites from college students.
Yep.
Oh, is that what it was?
Your university's email, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Only university emails could sign up for it.
So what is it now, Catherine? 11 years since I've been on social media?
Oh, God.
Probably about that.
Yeah.
Sounds about
shortly after this show started.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Well, I would suggest watching The Social Network, directed by David Fincher.
Mm-hmm.
And who was Jesse Eisenberg played Zuckerberg. And it's a really good movie. It gives you great insight into how the whole thing came about. And then another person that's persona non grata, Armie Hammer, played the Winklevoss twins.
That's right. Yes. Before his alleged cannibalism.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He really, yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Run this by me. What's
what?
This?
Yeah, like, what?
Okay, so there were two. Okay, there was Zuckerberg and a pair of twins. I forget their first name, but they were the Winklevoss twins.
Winklevoss, okay.
And Armie Hammer played the twins. And, you know, apparently, obviously, there was, and there was one other, Andrew Garfield played another guy that was on the inside who got allegedly screwed over. So the Winklevoss twins and this guy that Garfield played, you know, Zuckerberg managed to push them out somehow, allegedly. But maybe I should go back and watch this film. But it is a fascinating look into how the whole damn thing began. And I can't help but think, I mean, did Zuckerberg look back at that very beginning and how relatively simple it was and go with the whole Dr. Frankenstein thing and say, yeah, what have I done? Because it really just has become this hydra, this 12-headed monster that is so far beyond his control at this point. But it is really a good movie. And as far as Armie Hammer being the cannibal, allegedly. We got to go with that, Kristen.
Yep.
That we were talking earlier about all these freaking streaming services and how it's just getting to the point where they're not affordable at all. Discovery Plus, which may be merging with Max, the new Max and the HBO Max,
which launched today.
Today, yeah. Oh. So I got to get it right. So Armie Hammer, it's a show called The House of Hammer, I believe. Which goes into the whole kit and caboodle as far as the Hammers are concerned, including the whole misgivings, allegedly, of Armie Hammer. But it's like, I'm not going to subscribe to Discovery Plus so I can see this show. But maybe once it merges or whatever, maybe I will. But there's a lot of backstories out there that people don't know about.
Hammer family has a long history with alleged abuse,
really?
Substance abuse.
Oh.
Yeah. And the cannibalism stories that alleged cannibalism stories well, that follow Armie Hammer come out of accusations of sexual assault. And they're really awful. I've actually spoken with one of his victims and she's been traumatized by her interactions with him. And he was married too. This was going on while he was married to Elizabeth Chambers, whom he's now divorced from, and he's got two little kids. So it's a lot of sadness, a lot of darkness.
Well, the damning thing is they play voicemails from this guy.
Oh.
And it's pretty creepy stuff.
Oh, really?
I mean, look up even the trailer. You will hear some of his voicemails. I think it's The House of Hammer is the name of the Discovery Plus program. And I think it's like a three-part, or it's like a limited series.
Docu-series,
yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty damning when you got those old voicemails. I mean, accusations are accusations, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's tech. There is evidence that points to something went on. We were talking about Hugh Hefner this morning, Tim, and, you know, I was saying, even if you don't believe what all of these women, and we're talking about decades of women, alleged went on at the Playboy Club and the Playboy Mansion,
right.
Even if you meet it halfway in the middle between Hef's truth, these women's truth, it's still very, very dark. And you can't deny that things didn't go on at the mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Smart money would say, yes, stuff happened.
Yeah, I suppose. I
mean, stuff happened.
The lifestyle alone is just, that's how it works.
It kind of just falls back onto this whole boys will be boys mentality that basically Hollywood got away with and apparently Hef got away with, you know.
Bill Cosby for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it all makes sense. And it, in a, you know, a good way, obviously, people are finally calling it out. But my God.
Has anybody seen that video? This woman, she had somebody film her. And she just was walking around the streets of Manhattan. And she had T-shirts on. She had jeans on.
How many T-shirts?
And a crew neck tee. She wasn't, like, glammed out, nothing. She was just looking normal. And just watching all of the guys having to say something to her, walk beside her for up to 4 minutes trying to get her to talk to them. It just was, I mean, she's just walking. She's not looking at anybody. She's not trying to interact with anybody. She's just walking.
That's why I walked with headphones in most of the time.
Yeah,
when
it's
I was
just
in
kind
New York.
Of shocking how many times you get kind of, it's sort of, it's abuse. I mean, really.
Yeah, harassed.
Harassment.
I've lived in Manhattan 9 years, and I can tell you that the level of sexual harassment you receive, it's something in the culture in New York City.
Yes.
It's not in any other city. It's not here in Los Angeles. It wasn't in Boston. I didn't experience it in Minneapolis. There's something that allows the construction workers, even men just passing you on the street, to say something, comment, even just do the rude, like, smile. Come on, what's wrong? You know, and you're just like, you can be in your own thoughts. You don't have to smile every single second of the day. Yeah. But it's something specific to New York City, and I don't know what it is, but living there 9 years, I would go like hungover walking down the street and you'd still be sexually harassed and you're like, I look like hell. Have you seen me?
No. They don't care.
No, they don't care.
I would yell back at them.
Well, imagine like in foreign countries. Now, there's a great scene in the last season of White Lotus with Aubrey Plaza. Do you remember that scene, Kristen? You're nodding your head. Yeah.
I mean,
it is disturbing. She's just there. She's standing there, and every guy possible is leering at her. It's just really, really unnerving stuff.
Kristen, were you on with us this morning when we were talking about this very subject? And the fact that I don't understand the upside of abusing someone, forcing yourself on someone. What is the fun in that? For me, it's to be, you know, cared enough about to engage in something like that. Forcing yourself, what do they get out of forcing themselves on people?
It's power.
It's a power structure. Mm-hmm.
Well,
power dynamic.
Go lift weights and become more of a man.
I know. What? I would love to. I wish that was that simple, but unfortunately, there are predators everywhere.
Disgusting.
Everywhere. And you have to be so cautious. And you know, you look at a city, like whether it's New York City, Los Angeles, or people that move from a small town to a big city. Mm-hmm. You have to be so careful of who you surround yourself with, because it is easy to fall prey to these people, especially when you have big dreams of like Hollywood and I want to be an actress or I want to be a musician. You know, it's tale as old as time, but at the same time, you really have to keep your eyes open every single opportunity that comes your way. Like, what are these people's intentions? And ask yourself that over and over, because you just don't want to get yourself into a situation.
Oh, boy.
There's
so much
general assumption out there that, oh, because these people are there, they're willing to do more than they normally would. And they're kind of like, you know, they're kind of looking at them like easy prey or something weird. I mean, you know, because obviously we've heard tales of people putting themselves out to get in the business. I mean, you would think that has something to do with it.
Absolutely. I mean, Playboy had a structure of that, people wanting to be, you know, in the pages of Playboy back when that existed. Or you even have reality shows, people that will sit there and sell their souls to be on a reality show. There's different forms of it now. And then, of course, there's just like the horrible celebrity that will use anyone in their path, going, oh, well, OK, I'll make you famous. And we were talking about the Randall Scandal documentary on Hulu about Randall Emmett and how he would even just send DMs to, he's a movie producer, he would send DMs to women whom he didn't know, and he'd be like, I'll fly you to Puerto Rico, I'll give you $4,000 for the role, but it's understood what you're giving in exchange for that.
Really?
And some women will do anything
Absolutely.
For that, and
they
others
will.
Realize that they don't know that that's about to happen, and then are subsequently abused by it.
Well, what was that movie or the show about Fox News?
Oh,
Bombshell?
Bombshell.
Yeah, and you know, that was all based on a lot of facts.
There was Bombshell, but there was another one with Russell Crowe played Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes and there was a different, what was the name of that show? But they're both the same level of creep. They both are, Bombshell was the movie with Charlize Theron as Megyn Kelly.
And how many women did it and stayed quiet? Mm-hmm. You know, because they wanted that
voice.
They wanted that role, and that's, they were going to do anything for it. And that's, I don't know. I mean, that's part of the culture too, is that you've got willing victims.
Somebody said The Loudest Voice. Was that it?
The Loudest Voice. Yeah. And it was based off the book, The Loudest Voice in the Room.
Right, there you go. And that was Russell Crowe who played Roger Ailes in that.
Yes, and it's going to, it's on Showtime if people want to watch it. And Showtime will be merging officially in June with Paramount Plus.
There
so
you go.
You
oh,
don't
really?
Have Showtime right now, but you have Paramount Plus. They will be together. I think June 27th is the date.
We started watching that Bernie Madoff docuseries that you mentioned, Kristen. Oh, my God! That guy got away with it, and under the scrutiny of so many people, and they all just said, God bless, enjoy. And the only everyone, thing that brought him down was the economy. I couldn't believe it.
They wanted like 20% return, you know, those double digit returns on their fortune. And no one did any cross checking. No one verified that he literally had the ability to invest this money.
And how much and money he had. Yeah, he had from Europeans, the royal families of Europe. It's like, what do they follow up? So we've got the last one. There was this one guy that was Mr. Castle in Europe, and he was handling all the money for royal families and stuff. What was his name? Von Schlapp, Lapp, Lapp.
Von Stupp. Lily von Stupp.
Lily von Stuppenhaus. I don't know what his name was. But,
exactly.
But anyway, yeah, he said that if it's not real, to this guy who told him, it's not real. This is a Ponzi scheme. He said, if it's not real, I am dead.
Yeah, right.
And
I
wonder, did you watch the whole thing, Kristen? Do they follow up with what happened to the people?
They do follow up with some of the people in terms of some of the court cases and the outcomes of those. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but you kind of get, some people did get their money back. Not all of it, but they got some money back.
Right.
And I mean, the fact that literally Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick were a part of Bernie Madoff losing their money.
Yeah,
and they'd like to downplay it because they're like, listen, we have the ability to earn back a lot of our fortune. We were young when it happened.
Right.
And I don't think that they want to get too caught up in it, because also getting too caught up in it, it's like you didn't do your due diligence when it came to your investment.
That's exactly right.
I was under the impression they lost everything.
I believe that they had everything invested. And I said this on the morning show. I think we talked about it yesterday. I know someone who was part of the Bernie Madoff, and they had just bought their dream home. And in Los Angeles, it's a very big, expensive home, and they wound up having to move to a tiny, which I would be fine with, but a tiny, like, three-bedroom home, like, after, you know, being in this 20,000-square-foot home. But they were like, we can't afford it anymore. It's going to become Grey Gardens, where we just cannot, you know, deal with the upkeep. But they lost their kids, like, college funds, and they had four kids, like, two in college, two little ones,
two
marriages. It was a mess.
I'm going to take off because I don't want to cut into Kristen's time anymore. But quickly, Kristen, I need to know, because nobody else on this video chat has seen Fast 10. Is it the stupidest movie of the year or what?
It's the worst movie of the year.
Stupid and worst.
And, you know, I thought it was interesting that it did better internationally than here in the States. So Americans are catching up that this is just dumb.
Well, yeah. And I pointed out that the debut was even lower. And I think maybe internet altogether, worldwide, domestic and international, lower than Fast 9, whatever the hell it was called, F9. And that was released when the pandemic was still happening. So this is not a good sign if that's the case.
No, and Vin Diesel's doubling down. He's like, I'm going to bring you a female-centric Fast, and we've got more stories coming. I'm like, slow down, people. We do not need this.
Vin Diesel, the original one-note Johnny. Boy, he can't anything else but that.
Terrible. He's absolutely terrible.
I worked with Vin Diesel back in the day.
Was he always 2 hours late? Because he's always 2 hours late to interviews, I can tell you that.
No, he wasn't. He was a shark. he was dressed as a shark. So I did Toy Fair for the
hotel.
What?
And we were presenting. I worked in Cabbage Patch. And he did some sort of toy, and he had to wear like a shark strapped to his back.
Naturally.
That's great stuff.
Interesting.
Of course.
Do you have any video or a picture of it or anything?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a video or picture of it or anything?
I don't, but I remember sitting with him one day at lunch, and he's like, I'm going out to LA. I'm like doing this movie with like Spielberg or whatever. And I was like, yeah, right.
So before Private Ryan. Yeah, that's right, because he had a role in that. So, wow, that's a hell of a story.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, you've never had an opportunity to catch up with him and say, hey, remember that shark thing you did at Toy Fair? And
we're sitting there. Hopefully one day I'll have that opportunity to be like, do you remember? I remember. I knew you when you were a shark.
Back in your shark days.
When you said shark, I thought, oh, no, a shark, like, and the crap.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Like a
real shark.
That's a great story.
Yeah, there's always like funny stories like that. When you've been around long enough in LA or in the entertainment biz, you're like, oh no, I remember you.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember interviewing certain people at the very beginning of their career that I've never had a chance since, just because, and don't bother reminding, you know, their publicist of that. They don't give a crap. But, I mean, after Chris Evans did Fantastic Four, I interviewed him for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, where it was animating, did a voice. I mean, his career didn't exactly catch on fire, so to speak, after playing Johnny Blaze or whatever the hell the character was in Fantastic Four. So he was available for stuff. I mean, readily available. Salma Hayek, I talked with her early in her career. Halle Berry, all these people. And it's just amazing. It's fun to catch somebody right at the top, or not the top, at the bottom. I don't know if you call it the bottom, when they're breaking in. It's really, really a lot of fun. But again, you know, whether you can ever tell them that, more than likely, you're not going to get the opportunity, but I would love to be there when you talk to Vin Diesel and remind him of that.
I will make sure that one's on video. And I always think of Zendaya. I used to cover Disney Channel.
Wow.
Really at the height of Disney Channel, I was covering all those kids. And Zendaya, I mean, I have some baby photos of Zendaya when she was doing Shake It Up. And it's the reason why she and I follow each other on Twitter. It wouldn't be happening now for any reason. And then she did Dancing with the Stars. And she didn't win Dancing with the Stars. I think she was runner-up. And I said to everyone, I'm like, mark my words, this girl is going to be a superstar.
Wow.
You should become a talent agent.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I can catch it. I know the charisma. But
you've got the
eye. You do not want to be a talent agent.
Her parents were always around, like really making sure she was safe and well taken care of. And yeah.
Well, this one's kind of a weird one. Again, you know, Carrie Fisher has always been notable. But you take the opportunities when you get them, right? So she came into town with Debbie Reynolds for an AARP convention. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to submit a request. I want to talk to Carrie Fisher. And at that interview, which we sat on the floor, She wanted to sit on the floor to do the interview, which is something that was kind of weird, but it was.
I love that, actually.
I do, too. I mean, it's only happened once. But there with her was her 5-year-old daughter, Billy, who has kind of turned into her, you know, a star in her own right, obviously, with the American Horror Story stuff and all that.
Daisy
but
in the
she's been in the Star Wars stuff. And it's kind of like I do have a tape. It was on tape only. It was on cassette tape where I interviewed Carrie. And then she goes, Billy, you want to say anything? And the kid just, I gave her the mic and she growled into it. That's all she said.
She growled?
Yeah. And like a 5-year-old kid, you know, some weird thing like that. But it's kind of like, that was kind of fun memory if you think about it, you know, because she just introduced her mom, the star on the Walk of Fame just recently, Billy did. So,
I
know. I'm going to catch them at the beginning of their careers. And Tom, I don't know if you heard the rest of it. I'll get off the call here, but.
There's only 8 minutes left. You may as well stay.
Okay, I'll stay.
Stay, Tim.
But you know what we should do on Tuesdays? You just both come on together.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be fun.
Why not?
Kristen, you got to tell them about Vin Diesel and how you were at Toy Fair with him.
Tom, did you miss that part?
Yes, I need to hear Vin Diesel. God, what a no talent. Ugh.
So Mattel still does the Toy Fair to this day, but this was before like Vin Diesel really broke into the mainstream of Hollywood. And he was I was working in Cabbage Patch and had to present the new Cabbage Patch line. And he was doing some sort of shark game, like land shark.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it was. Yeah. But he had to have a big like shark strapped to his back for the actual game itself.
Great.
And I sat with him at lunch one day and he's like, I'm doing this movie with Spielberg. I'm like, I bet you are, you know? And of course it was true that he was working with Spielberg. That was his last probably like normal, regular, unknown actor job before he went out to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Did he have his head shaved at that point?
He always wore it cropped short from what I recall. So it wasn't like long or anything like that.
It seems to me he did a movie with Sidney Lumet and I'm trying to remember what the name of it was, but I think he has done movies where he's actually had hair, but
really?
For the most part. And that's the one thing I said to Tom when I'd reviewed the film Fast 10 on Friday. I mean, my wife and I, we looked at each other. It's like, geez, this guy is really, really fit. And he really doesn't look like he's aged at all. So, I mean, he does sustain that look quite well. I don't know what the hell he does, but he looks good.
He looks great.
Yeah, yeah. So for whatever it's worth. But I was telling Kristen, Tom, that this is a story that I can't wait till Kristen talks with Vin again and reminds him of that shark thing. And
be like, I did not believe you at lunch.
Sorry, I didn't believe you about Spielberg.
Yeah, I was like, because you hear, especially living out here, people are like, you know, I've got this film in development and it's, you know, I'm working with Ryan Reynolds. And you hear stories like this all of the time. Sometimes they're true, but a lot of times you're like, it's just a bunch of talk. And of course, this one came true. So I was like, OK, I'll bite my tongue on that one.
And speaking of Ryan Reynolds and Tom, I don't know. Oh, if you've watched any more of this, but I know I've heard Kristen talk about it on the morning show, at least Jury Duty, which is brilliant. I finally finished it. It's brilliant.
So did you
watch it through? To me, it hits its stride in episode 3. It gets really, really hilarious in episode 3. Anyway, this guy, Ronald Gladden, he's such a likable guy, an affable dude. I mean, really, really likable. Ryan Reynolds got him to do a Mint Mobile commercial.
That's right.
And Ryan Reynolds. I thought, oh my God. Yeah. So he is on his way to, because you were watching this guy, he fit in so well. And it's like, I think I could see this guy on screen.
Oh, and he's going to be a superstar. I say Dancing with the Stars will scoop him up for the fall.
I certainly hope. Man. And what I hope are all of the other actors in this, who made everything feel so real, including James Marsden.
It was amazing. This
I
is
really
such
like
a good
him.
Role yep, playing like a heightened version of who James Marsden is in real life.
Yeah, and so I hope these other actors get more opportunities because of this. Because they're all terrific. They're all terrific. I was so blown away by this show. And I think, you know, again, the first two episodes, they got to set things up, but I think really episode 3 is where things get really, really funny. Now, has anybody else besides Kristen and I watched the whole thing? Because I don't know. I can see why you might lose interest after an episode or two, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you got back into it.
Tom is my quitter. I'm always like, watch this. And he's like, I watched 15 minutes. I hate it.
He does hate things.
A good place while Catherine was away. I'm like, it's such a good series. What are you talking about?
What was the movie we watched the other day that you were like, I'm out?
I'm out.
South Branch or South Watch or South Wick or what the hell is it called?
South Wick? No, it was about the. It was Matt Damon and he went to Paris.
It was terrible.
To get his daughter out of jail. Anybody?
Was it a show or a movie?
It's a movie. It was a very long movie. If they had edited about an hour out of it, it might have been a good movie. But it was just a lot of Matt Damon walking around looking like a cowboy.
It had a budget of $20 million and a box office of $20 million. So
whoops, didn't do too well there. Huh?
A lot of people.
Yeah, they were
hoping
for Oscar.
What?
Oh, it was Oscar bait.
Oscar?
There was no Oscar performance at all.
Yeah,
it was indulgent camera work.
It came out, I believe, at the end of the summer, which, you know, the timing is really, really tough now. Because if you die a quick death at the box office, that's going to bury your chances. And I believe Stillwater was actually a summer film.
I feel like it was August or something
July.
All they had to do is watch it, and they would know it was an Oscar. Did you watch your own movie? Not an Oscar movie.
It was 140 minutes. It was 2 hours 20. That's long.
But it was long because it was never got to it until the last 30 minutes. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, finally.
Yeah, basically, the movie is a takeoff on, what's her name? The one in Italy. What was the woman who was served time in an Italian prison?
Amanda Knox?
Yes.
Oh.
Basically, the movie is a takeoff of that whole case.
Oh, okay. Well, it was whoever produced it or directed it was just having a mad love affair with Matt Damon walking around in his roughneck
cowboy
outfit.
Items.
He wore chaps, too. It's been a while. I have seen the picture, and it's been a while, so I didn't know if he wore chaps or not.
No, he didn't have. He was a roughneck, actually, from Oklahoma. A roughneck is the one that drills the hole for the oil fields.
Little trivia, James Marsden is from Stillwater, Oklahoma.
There you go.
Regular dude.
And again, conversation.
There you go. And you know what? I have to mention, because I think he's the coolest guy I've had the opportunity of talking with in all of the years I've been doing this. But I started interviewing James Marsden about 20 years ago.
Love that guy.
For a movie about The Notebook.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe close to a dozen times since. I last talked with him for Dead to Me season 3. But he is the exact same guy. And the nicest guy in the world. And if there's no way all his success has changed him, because he's done some pretty big things.
Mm-hmm.
I love him in Hairspray.
Hairspray. Enchanted, although the second Enchanted is,
good.
I haven't seen it yet.
Not good.
You're not missing anything.
Okay.
But, you know, easily, I mean, and that's what I loved about him in this particular show, just showing that, I'm not too big to, I mean, he's basically poking fun at himself the whole time, you know, coming off as this douchebag actor is what he is, you know, and it's so well done. But it's, I think one thing that I liked about it, and probably you do, Kristen, too, is that it wasn't all about James Marsden. I mean, they gave plenty of time to all of these other actors. It was like
so many quirky people,
ensemble pieces. Yeah, and I think my favorite out of all of those people is Jeannie, who is the. She actually reminded me of Marissa Tomei a bit.
I could see that.
Yeah, and she was terrific. But there were so many others that got more time than others. But for the most part, it was an ensemble thing. And the last episode, I won't give anything away, but obviously at some point they're going to pull back the curtain, so you get to see how they pulled this off.
And not done in a cruel way. I think that was the best part of it. So, because you could just be like making fun of Ronald the whole time, and that's not the way. That was not the premise of this series. It was great.
Yeah, I guess the cool thing is the selfless way he reacted to a lot of situations. And again, Tom, when you get into this deeper in the episodes, I mean, some of these people like James Marsden are put in some very embarrassing situations that he asked this guy to take the fall for, and the guy gladly did it, that I don't know many people would. So that's, again, this guy came off a big winner in this show. So there's much more to it. I mean, I know some people have watched it and say it makes them feel uncomfortable. I don't know if it does to me necessarily. No. But
and Freebie's done so well with this. They are going to do another season, but I think it's going to be in a different setting other than jury duty.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be hard to pull that one off. Can you imagine some people in real life saying, am I on jury duty?
Is this real? Are you questioning? I mean, he did get the jury duty documentary off of Craigslist, so it was already sus to begin with.
Well, yeah. I mean, and obviously, if you know anything about how these cases work, there is no way that they would ever allow cameras in a jury room or any part during a trial to film a documentary.
No way.
He went into this thing really blind. So
really naive. That's okay, yeah, though. It worked.
There you go. It's good entertainment. That's all I can say.
There you go.
Hey, do we have another minute?
If you want.
Well, I saved this quote. I follow Tarantino Universe. And he said, it's a shame. It's not the Hollywood I knew. Will the kind of cinema experience I grew up with still exist in 5 or 6 years? We will see. I certainly haven't left Hollywood. Hollywood has left me. I'll probably be the last one to turn off the light there. I'll probably be around a few more years in Hollywood itself. Hmm. Why is he so? What happened? Does anybody know?
Well, I think, and it's not new, but some people are there. I think maybe the intensity of calling him out for the content of his movies, he's probably tired of it. Maybe we don't know this. This is total speculation here. But can you see with the way Hollywood is today, some producer leaning on him saying, you know what, you got to pull back on that because that might offend people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, total, you know, and he's the sort of guy to push totally back. I mean, he does his own thing. He marches to his own beat. He always has marched to his own beat, mm-hmm. You know, and he does, I think he is self-absorbed, obviously, but, you know, it's like I'm the 9th film from Quentin Tarantino, like that's going to mean anything to me. But and then this big announcement coming about this is my last film, like we should all be clamoring and begging
right.
him for more.
Right.
His retirement, because he's going to milk that for the whole, for
what
it's worth.
Of course he is. Of course yeah. he's also the sort of guy that writes a book then. And, you know, so he will always be involved in it. But quickly, Vin Diesel's shark story, Michelle Tafoya, our friend, used to rent videos at where Quentin worked at the video store.
Oh.
Before he was just Quentin, the guy that rented videos.
So they knew everything about every movie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that's another one of those weird things where somebody we know, Kristen and now in Michelle Tafoya, where they came across these people before they were the big shots that they are. Mm-hmm. So there you are. Yeah, but I don't know. Tarantino, it's going to be interesting. But his new film, his last film, is called The Critic. So I think he's going to be going after critics with this one. We'll find
possibly.
Out.
Oh, dear.
All right, that is going to do it. A hell of a Tuesday, I thought.
One hell of a Tuesday, absolutely.
It's all true.
Indeed. Well, we got to bring, it's up to you guys, of course, but Kristen should start when I start, and let's chat the whole time, if you don't mind.
If you want to do it, we'll do it.
Awesome.
Is that how you want to do it next Tuesday?
Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Just let me know what time it is. I'm trying to keep all my time straight.
Oh, yeah.
It's 8:20 your time. Yeah. 8:20 your time. Yep.
Wow.
All right.
Well, look, Tom's getting you up early the way it is, so, you know.
I get up at 4:45 for Tom, so.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
That's dedication. Mm-hmm.
It is, especially if I go out the night before. Let me tell you, 4:45 rolls around very early.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Yikes.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Sounds good.
Bye.